Hey, everybody, welcome in to Speak Up. My guest today is Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm. And our mayor is a frequent guest with me because the policies and the vision and the decisions that he and his team implement not only affect those who live in Sandpoint, but also to a very great extent to Bonner County residents and visitors, Boundary County, and you know other surrounding areas. So these topics definitely have an impact on you. We always have a long list with the mayor, so today we're going to start with wastewater treatment financial options and what the project overview is. We talk about it before, but sometimes we run out of time. It's at the top of the list today. We're also going to talk about parking and other things, so stay with us for all that and more. All right, let's do a little business. We will be right back with Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm.
Did you know Pro-X Home Decor Center in Bonners Ferry is a certified dealer in popular General Electric and Furno appliances? No need to ship online or fight the crowds in a big box store. Come have a cup of coffee with us and see what we have to offer in our quiet and spacious showroom. You can also shop other national brands like Maytag, Amana, Igloo, Speed Queen, Whirlpool, Crosley, Conservator, and Italian-made Smeg appliances. All in stock and at competitive prices. Come see us today at Pro-X Home Decor Center.
At Winter Ridge, if it makes it onto our shelves, it has met our quality standards, and we can rest easy knowing it's making its way into your pantries and onto your tables. We are getting back to the basics and refreshing our product selection store-wide. In addition, we are happy to announce we are bringing back in-store sampling and wine tastings. Try before you buy new and exciting products. Learn about the makers behind the brands and discover delightful pairings. It's going to be a summer to remember. We'll see you in the aisles. Winter Ridge, your community choice for local, natural, and delicious. At the corner of Lake and Boyer in Sandpoint.
Do you want to experience pain relief, improved mobility, and an enhanced quality of life? Our team at Bonner General Orthopedics is dedicated to providing personalized care tailored to your unique needs. We offer total hip, knee, shoulder, and reverse shoulder replacements. Everything can happen right here in Sandpoint, from appointments and surgery to follow-up and rehabilitation. Get your stride back with Bonner General Orthopedics. Call 208-263-8597 or visit bonnergeneral.org.
The NFL is back with 4 days of football. The 2025 season starts on September 4th with NFL Kickoff presented by YouTube TV. Catch Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys take on Jalen Hurts and the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles in the first game of the season. Then get ready for a weekend full of unforgettable moments. NFL Kickoff presented by YouTube TV. September 4th at 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Go to watch.nfl.com for the full schedule.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. You know, we've always got it going on here at the studio, and I'm happy to bring you in to be a part of it with Mayor Jeremy Grimm. Always good to have you on. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Barbara, and hello to everyone out there. Great to be with you today, and hold on tight. School starts in 2 weeks, and get your last blast of summer in because it goes fast.
Exactly. I don't know. When I was in school, I was always kind of halfway by now looking forward to getting back in school. I had a little bit too much parent time or something when to get back.
You know, those cool September nights often feel pretty good to me. When you wake up in the morning, blue sky, and it's just crisp, you're like, ah, I like that.
We all love fall. All right. Wastewater treatment, infrastructure, plan and cost. That's the big ticket item right now.
My number one priority.
Oh, good. Okay. So first of all, what is overall the plan? What needs to be done?
We need a new wastewater treatment plant.
Tear out the old and replace it all? Or
tear it out and replace it. That wastewater plant, a significant portion of it came from the Farragut military base down at Bayview. It could be a historical landmark if you do the timing on it. And unfortunately, when you get down there, most of the pumps, the catchment basements, the treatment, the digesters, all the parts that make it work, they are well past their useful life. And what that means is on any given day, our operators down there are scrambling. Pipes are breaking, pumps are going out, circuit boards, you know, that they don't even make or you can't replace anymore are failing. And at the end of the day, what happens is we have catastrophic events, what the federal folks call a disruption, and we end up sending basically effluent or the wastewater into the river at levels that does not meet the Clean Water Act standards. So we've had a number of those. We've had overflows. We've had some pretty scary days down there. And the thing with wastewater, you can't just turn off a valve at the plant and stop it for a minute. It's all a gravity-fed system. And the old saying about what rolls downhill, well, everything in the city rolls downhill to the sewer plant. And if the plant isn't able to pump and treat and do things, the sewage doesn't stop. It just keeps flowing. So that's the effort, is to replace a plant that is basically a ticking time bomb. And I don't like to say if, it's when the next disruption is going to happen and we're going to have another release of sewage into the river. And that's what we're trying to prevent.
So taking care of this is clearly and long overdue, or at least now very overdue, job one. So will the old plant limp along while the new one's being built over here? Or how do you do that in parts?
Right. It's a very complex engineering effort. We were faced with two options. Some people will recall we were looking at relocating the plant up onto Baldy Road. Right. After a fair amount of analysis, that looked to be very expensive. And the political aspect of relocating a new plant, for those who followed around the construction of the Russell Center, to build a sports facility is controversial. I can't imagine building a new sewer plant in someone's backyard. So I take the position that people who live around the existing wastewater plant are generally comfortable with it. They know it's there. It's nothing new. We are going to improve it, both the odor control and the water quality that flows out of it. But it's a pretty complex process. It's effectively, imagine changing the wings on an airplane while you're
flying in flight.
I mean, this thing has to operate. As I mentioned, you can't shut it off ever. So the sewage is coming 24 hours a day. And it's a fairly sophisticated engineering process to replace the components and eventually replace the whole plant.
Okay, so without getting to the weeds of how that's going to happen, because that is very complicated, what about a timeline?
Right.
What is the kind of a start point, and how long will it take to work through everything?
It is going to be multiple years. There's a couple different steps in the process. The first is funding. So we need to know how much money do we need. And to get to the bottom of that answer, we do something called a preliminary engineering report. And that's been worked on for the past year. We've got all the elements, the sizing, trying to figure out where things are going to have to be on the footprint of the plant. And we've got a preliminary engineering number right now of $130 million to replace that entire facility.
Spread over some multiple years.
If we could snap our fingers and have $130 million. We then go into design. So that's the very detailed design of all the pipes and the fittings and the elements. And then we would go out to bid and construction. You know, that this is, you know, even at a fast track, this is a 3 to 4 year process to design and build if we had all the money today, which we don't have. And that's the big question that will be coming to the voters on November 4th is what is the voters' preference for how we approach the funding? But there's one thing I need to make really clear. There's some misinformation out there. We are not replacing the plant because of growth. The plant, here's some numbers for you. On a day like today, when it is sunny and dry, that plant is seeing roughly 1.8 million gallons a day of sewage. Not a lot of sewage. When we get rain on snow in the winter, that plant sees flows upwards of 10 million gallons a day. And that is something that the plant just can't handle. And the reason we see flows in like February or March when we have rain on snow is because we sit on approximately 300 feet of clay here in Sandpoint. And all those sewer lines are down in trenches. And when that rain on snow occurs, the water finds its way into those sewer line trenches. And despite our best efforts, it finds cracks and seeps, and it ends up flowing into the sewer lines and gravity fed down into our plant. So the biggest challenge that we face with the plant is something called I&I, inflow and infiltration. And if you live in town, you know that we've been working to fix that for the better part of 15 years. We've made some progress, but we still have these very high flows. So the real challenge with replacing this plant it's not the growth that we're seeing. We can manage that. It's the fact that our system is suited.
Heating system,
yeah,
that's coming into
they call it the collection system is unfortunately
better than feeding.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not in a great geography or the characteristics of the land.
So that's another project that's ongoing right now and will continue to mitigate against the infiltration, this rain on snow phenomena when it starts
right.
leaking in. Even to the new system, it will right. leak in.
It will.
Until those lines right. are repaired.
Yeah, so
replaced.
Right now we're looking at building a plant that can handle 10 million gallons a day. I mean, if you just do the math, that's like 8 times what our plant needs to be. So there is a pathway that we're really working on, and I'll go into that in a few minutes, but we're hoping we don't have to build a plant that large.
Okay.
But I'd like to get back to the financing. So
yes.
Tomorrow night, the city council will be making a determination whether we either go out for a voter-approved bond of $80 million and do a half the plant, basically. That would be a piece-by-piece replacement of the most important fluid processing elements of the plant. The other alternative is to go out for the full $130 million bonding authority, and that would replace the whole plant. Now, if you're not familiar with bonds,
Before you go into the mechanism of bonds, if I can, you had a survey that was out that's now closed. Are the results of that survey in? I mean, what are people already thinking before we look at, you know, do we go for the $80 million or do we really up our taxes and another little leap to the 130?
It's more than a little.
Okay. So what are the where are people leaning, the ones that responded?
Right. So obviously we don't do this every day as a city. So we did bring on some groups that help and do this full time. One of them was a survey and marketing educational group. They strictly work on wastewater bonds and wastewater projects. And we did float a survey out there for the last month, and the results will be revealed tomorrow night at our city council meeting.
Not here?
Not here. I've been told that they mirror the first 2 weeks. There weren't substantial changes. And what this survey was asking for is, first and foremost, are the residents of Sandpoint aware of the need for the sewer plant and what's going on? And we had a very encouraging start to this, is that the majority of residents are aware that this is an issue. So between us talking on the radio and elsewhere, that's a good news, because people know that it's an issue. The other question they asked was, we have these two paths. We'll call it the incremental approach, or where we'll just try to do $80 million. We asked them what they thought about that, if it meant their rates might go up 60%, and we got their feedback on that. And then we asked if we should go for the full Monty, the $130 million, and looking at what their rates would do and what their thoughts were on that. People seem to be more inclined to the $80 million project. And then what was very clear is they want us to go for more federal and state funding for these projects. So it looks like if the voters do approve these bonds, one or the other, there'll just be one question, I should say. So council will decide tomorrow night if we're going to ask the voters for $80 million of debt or $130 million. Once we get that solution figured out.
A quick comment is, you know, we watched the West Bonner County School District struggle with bonds, and people obviously don't want their taxes to go up high. Is there any thinking, and this may, you know, it may not hold a court whenever the vote is taken, but it's better to get a bond approved and get things moving than to go for, as you said, the full money, the 130, and you're just dead in the water because it didn't get approved.
Right.
I mean, I that may not carry the day, but it is a thought.
Yeah, there's a number of different approaches to this. So the council will be debating that tomorrow night and discussing it. One of the things, if you're not aware, I want to correct just some of the language. It's not a tax. It is a user fee. So this only affects the people who are using our sewer system, and that's just folks in the city of Sandpoint.
And that's our sewer.
That's our sewer fee. You get a monthly utility bill. It has water, sewer, and garbage. Right now, for a single-family residence, so if you're living alone there or my house, paying about $100 a month for sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Even at this $80 million proposed bond, that bill is projected to go up to $160 a month. Now, those are some of the highest sewer rates that I'm aware of anywhere in the country. So we are in an unfavorable position. And the reason I bring that up is because let's think about the history of wastewater plants. If you're old enough to remember the Clean Water Act and the rivers on fire and pollution in our waterways, the federal government, Edward Muskie and others put forward the Clean Water Act in, I believe it was 1972. So that legislation said you can't just put sewage in the river anymore or chemicals. You have to treat it. The EPA enforces that treatment parameters, and that authority is now delegated to the state of Idaho. So back in 1972 or 73, when they adopted that legislation, the federal government played a huge role in helping towns and communities build these facilities. Basically, they said, we're going to require that you treat your wastewater, but we're going to give you some money to help do that. We are in a very different world today. If you followed the trillions and trillions of dollars of federal debt that we have and the rate it's going up, I've spent the last year talking to our senators and congressmen saying, we need money for this sewer plant. You got to help us. How do we get some federal funding? And the feds basically have offered $0 to offset the cost of this project. So I see this as an unfunded federal mandate. Our federal government needs to understand that if they're going to require these permit requirements on things like turbidity or biological oxygen demand or E. coli or other things, you can't just put a very expensive sewer facility on the backs of, a couple of thousand residents in Sandpoint. Bottom line is we need federal help to fund this plant. And right now, after a year of trying, we got a big old goose egg. And that is very disturbing to me. The state of Idaho did come forward. I thank the governor and the state. They came forward with $3 million of debt forgiveness. But we have no funding other than ourselves to build this thing. So very frustrating. And
let's be more open to if it's a partnership, they see that we have an $80 million, is it $80 million bond that has passed, and therefore they would be more willing to pony up some money. And it just frustrates me when I think of all the reports over the last 6 months of money that's been wasted.
Oh, it's tragic.
It's unbelievable. And it's just money has been sent all over and just not to us.
And I just want to throw in, think about the criticality of clean water and sewage and waterways and an environment. This is the engine that runs our economy. If we can't treat and release wastewater, how do we keep Lighthouse going? How do we keep our schools going? How do we function? So wastewater and I would say infrastructure is the engine that makes America run. And in my opinion, what government should be doing, you know, stay out of all the other stuff. Let's focus on water, sewer, police, fire, and roads, and let the private sector do the rest. But to do that, it's incredibly expensive. So
hold that thought. Yes. We're going to take a break. You know, one quick thing to think about while we're on break is it EPA? Is that who says no to us? They're like, no, we're not going to give you any money. But do we have attorneys? I mean, let's sue the government.
Well, more likely we would be sued because when there's another disruption at the plant, we're going to violate
them before
we're going to violate the permits.
All right. We're going to think about that before we call our attorneys. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brett Taylor with Taylor & Sons Chevrolet. When it comes to preparing used vehicles to be offered for sale, I like to think Taylor & Sons does things a little different. Prior to offering a vehicle for sale, Taylor & Sons invests, on average, over $1,700 into every vehicle we sell. That $1,700 is almost double the industry average. Every vehicle that Taylor & Sons offers for sale undergoes a comprehensive inspection, including the obvious things like brakes and tires, but goes a step further to consider the scheduled maintenance items such as transmission and differential service intervals, cosmetic reconditioning such as rock chips and dents, and thoroughly detailing every vehicle. Taylor & Sons is also home of the Taylor & Sons Powertrain Advantage. Every vehicle 8 years or newer with under 80,000 miles comes standard with a 10-year, 150,000-mile powertrain warranty at no cost to you. When you couple our comprehensive approach to reconditioning with our Powertrain Advantage, Taylor & Sons is the premier location to consider your next pre-owned vehicle. You can view our entire selection of pre-owned vehicles online at tschevy.com. For guest-focused service, a world-class facility, and value for your money, it's Taylor & Sons Chevrolet.
Get ready for 10 days of nonstop fun at the North Idaho State Fair, August 15th to the 24th. Enjoy carnival rides, delicious food, and five thrilling nights of rodeo. Experience tractor pull shows, exhilarating concerts, and the excitement of the lumberjack show and pig races. Plus, stage act, live music, and farm park fun for the whole family. Get your tickets now for the North Idaho State Fair, nisfair.fun, presented by ICCU.
Start your day off right with a breakfast from Spud's Waterfront Grill. Try their new signature jams, breakfast sandwiches, and tasty scrambles, plus delicious house-made soups and sandwiches, perfect for a hearty lunch on the go. Spud's is now open 7 days a week, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Got an event? Spud's catering options features baskets of sandwiches, large salads, and comforting crock pots of soup. Located on First Avenue in Sandpoint, check them out online, Spud's Waterfront Grill.
Sound familiar? At Mattress Firm, we understand there are many problems, like snoring, aches and pains, hot sleep, or even an old saggy mattress that can keep you up at night. And our sleep experts have the unrivaled know-how to match you with a mattress that can help. And now get a king bed for a queen price, plus a free adjustable base with select Sealy mattresses. For the great sleep you deserve, visit Mattress Firm. We make sleep easy. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, everybody, we've got it going on right here with Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm. We are talking about the wastewater treatment infrastructure. And listen, it's a full-on replacement. They're not going to, you know, mess around with shoring up a few things. It's all the way. But as you said so correctly, Mayor, it's going to be in flight. I mean, it's got to keep working for us while everything ultimately gets replaced.
You can't shut off the flows.
No, and we're not going to go to another location and whatever. All those reasons are so good to do the way that you've currently got it planned. So there's a bond issue coming up. When will the city council decide about, will it be on the ballot for November and how much?
Tomorrow night.
Okay, what tomorrow time?
That'll be 5:30, City of Sandpoint. City Hall or on YouTube or Zoom if you want to participate.
We've done a survey, and the results of that survey will be released at the meeting. Public input or no? We're past public input now.
Well, the vote's really the public input.
Right.
November 4th, so that's the ultimate public hearing, so to speak.
There we go. Okay.
So we will be doing a campaign with some, public outreach events, educational events. We'll have flyers. We'll certainly have a website set up so you can ask and understand what the project is. And at the end of the day, we are going to do everything we can to preserve and protect the quality of the water going into the river and our downstream friends and neighbors, and also get this thing hopefully funded with some more participation from the federal government, because in my mind, if they're making the rules, they should be helping us build a facility that meets those rules, because it's terribly expensive.
Just as you called it, an unfunded mandate. Well, we look forward to the city council's decision tomorrow evening, beginning at 5:30. If you're interested, be there. It's right there at City Hall. All right, let's turn our attention to parking, in particular City Beach. We have an approved plan, don't we? It's not all the way, but we've got an improved plan.
We have a policy.
And we don't have a plan about passes.
In the policy, it contemplates passes.
Okay.
It has some initial, we'll say, targets for what those rates would be and how it would work. But the next step, now that we have the policy,
is the next step?
Now we need a plan. So we didn't want to.
I thought this was the plan.
No. So we didn't want to go and pick vendors and really spend a lot of time identifying what's the technology and where is it going to go if City Council wasn't on board with the general direction that we're going. So we got their approval to move in this direction. And if you've been anywhere other than the city's website and reading the city documents, here's what is in the policy right now. So tentatively, we're looking at $15 per year for a Sandpoint resident, and that would give you 6 hours of parking per day at City Beach and 3 hours at the city lot downtown.
Which I think is very generous, and
A dollar and change per month, it seems, doable for most households.
And county residents are going to drive me crazy.
Bonner County residents would be $30, and they would get 3 hours at the beach for free per day. And then again, 2 hours at, I'm sorry, 3 hours at city parking lot.
And I want the county residents to not complain.
Well,
because who's paying right now for everything that's going on at City Beach? Who?
That's right.
Who?
City of Sandpoint residents. If you
and
got your tax bill.
And we're getting charged more money. So don't complain about you finally getting charged for this.
Yeah. If you're a county resident, I understand. I've got a lot of friends and family that live in the county. I used to live in the county. I get it. We're all a community, and I love Bonner County residents. At the end of the day, if you got your tax bill from the assessor a couple weeks ago, you'll see, if you happen to be a privileged Sandpoint resident, you're going to have an extra line item in there. On my tax bill, it says City of Sandpoint levy, and it's, I'll look it up right here, $2,131 in addition to everything else that the county charges. So to live in Sandpoint, it is more expensive, and that's because those tax dollars are paying for things like the City Beach parking lot. Now, a lot of county...
I always want people to understand, because I just learned this. I'm paying for city police and county sheriff.
You are, and you probably don't use the county sheriff very often.
Not much, but I'm happy that they are there. I admire the deputies. God bless our law enforcement, all of them. But I am paying for both, so yeah.
Yeah, no, it's,
you know... costs money to live here.
There are a number of things that city residents pay more for, so... I just want to touch on, I've read some feedback I've gotten from the public. A lot of county residents feel like, oh, I come in and I shop in Sandpoint and I pay the 6% sales tax and I'm paying my fair share. Well, we've done the analysis.
You pay the 6% sales tax.
You do, but it's not very much. We get about $3 for every $1,000 that's spent downtown.
The state takes it.
And redistributes it, correct.
Yes.
So somebody comes in and spends $3,000 downtown, we get $9. It's not a significant contributor to our budget.
No.
So what this is trying to do is just make sure, you know, I'm a pretty straightforward person. I want to make sure that in 15 or 20 years when we need to redo those parking lots, that we're not taking from another pot to pay for it. So I want to establish a dedicated replacement pool of money paid for by paid parking, so that in the future, when those parking lots degrade or need to be maintained, we have a dedicated revenue source for them. You know, it's pretty common everywhere. Right now, if you go to City Beach, about 75% of the users at City Beach this month are not from Bonner County or not Sandpoint residents.
They're tourists.
They are, and it's a pretty good deal.
And they need to do paid parking. So the plan is not in place. All of this is still in the decision-making mode. So there are passes for certain categories of people, city, county, other people. Then there's paid parking. Mm-hmm. If you're not in the pass category, you're going to have paid parking at both City Beach and the parking lots. I want to get to developers, because there's a third kind of recommended plan you guys are looking at, that the developers will either have parking, provide parking, or it will be in lieu.
That's right. That's right. And that's a change. There was a recent two apartments that were proposed for downtown on Church Street. They fall within our zone that requires no parking. It was something that was implemented after the Great Recession, because we had a lot of vacant buildings and we were looking for ways to...
08?
2009 or 10 it got implemented.
Oh, okay.
We were looking for ways to remove barriers so people would invest in the downtown. And one of the best ways to do that is to say you don't have to build off-street parking. As a result of that policy, we saw buildings like Cochava and Bellwoods, or the Fat Pig, the Winery, the Hive, a number of buildings were able to be renovated, providing tax benefit and stimulation downtown activity, and they didn't have to build on-site parking. So what's being proposed is that we stop that effort for residential. So these new apartments, they were called Farm and Flats. I don't know what they're going to be called. Those are likely the last two residential developments downtown that won't have to provide parking. And what's been proposed...
pay in lieu.
Yeah, what's been proposed now is that you either develop it on-site or you pay an in-lieu fee.
So development on-site means on-street parking to...
No, not on-street. Actually,
off
on the
street.
Property. Off-street parking.
On their property.
On their property.
Oh, got it. So it's not on the streets that are already there. They're providing parking. Or they pay in lieu of providing that parking, a pretty substantial fee. I want to move on with this parking, because again, people keep thinking, well, okay, maybe not at the beach, but somewhere down around there, let's just build a great big parking structure, you know, two, three, four stories high, something.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that idea in that immediate area?
Nothing at all. We will need a parking structure someday in Sandpoint.
What about the clay and the water and the stability that you can't build a great big building like that?
You can. It's just terribly expensive. We, as I mentioned before, we sit on between 300 and 600 feet of clay in Sandpoint because the way the glaciers came down and the outflow from the lake, it's very unique to just the basically the footprint of Sandpoint. So you never hit bedrock. So it's more expensive to build, but that's not the primary barrier to building a parking structure. The primary barrier is that you go back to economics. And if you, let's say a parking structure, let's throw a number out there, $30 million, probably not out of the park ballpark for a 3 or 4 story building. We don't have $30 million, so you would have to finance that and you would have debt payments on it. So you would need to ensure that that parking structure had enough demand so that people are, you know, going to pay for it. And that's going to probably mean, I don't know, $7, $10 a day to park in a structure. Now ask yourself this. When we have 1,200 plus empty parking spaces in town on the street, who on earth is going to pay $10 a day to park in a parking structure?
Exactly. I think people think that the occupancy for parking in the downtown hub is worse than it really is. So you might have to drive a little bit of block here and a block there and turn right, turn left, and you'll find something. We got to take a break. I can't believe we're up against our last break. I know. We need a longer show.
You need to move to City Hall, and we'll just do this every other day.
We'll just do this all the time. All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Andrew O'Neill, Emergency Manager for Boundary County. Outdoor equipment can spark a wildfire. Sometimes chains or other metal parts can cause sparks. The same can happen with an exposed wheel rim if your tires are low. Even a lawnmower striking a rock can start a wildfire. So what can you do about it? Maintain your equipment. Secure all chains so they don't drag on the road. Mow early in the day and never when it's windy and excessively dry. Outfit your equipment with Spark Arrestor, brought to you by your local fire department thanks to the Idaho Department of Lands and donations made to the Boundary County Fire Prevention Co-op.
Montana Shakespeare in the Parks has been enriching the lives of people in Montana and beyond with free live theater for 53 years. This summer, the company will bring free performances of Shakespeare's As You Like It and Henry V to 64 communities across 5 states. Pack a picnic, grab your friends, and enjoy these world-class performances. For more information and the full tour schedule, visit shakespeareintheparks.org. Montana Shakespeare in the Parks, for all people, for all time.
Don't miss the Montana Shakespeare in the Parks free production of As You Like It in Sandpoint at Lakeview Park this Tuesday, August 19th at 5 p.m. The show is free and open to the public. Seating is first come, first served. That's As You Like It, from Montana Shakespeare in the Parks in Sandpoint this Tuesday. Visit montanashakespeareintheparks.org for more information.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Come by boat or car for unforgettable waterfront dining. Pearls on the Lake in Hope is now open 7 days a week from 12 to 8. Enjoy a fresh new menu, tasty cocktails, and live music on beautiful Lake Ponderay. Visit pearlsonthelake.com to reserve your table today.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Oh my goodness, here we are with Mayor Jeremy Grimm. We've got a lot more on our list. We're going to get to as much as we can, Jeremy. First of all, why is the city spending money to up even have a subsidy for the spot bus, much less up the ante.
Oh, spot bus. So spot bus is something that's run as a joint powers authority between the cities of Dover, Sandpoint, Pendre, and Kootenay. We all contribute. And when it was started, it was started right after the Great Recession. And there was a determination by the community, the electeds at the time, that this was a beneficial service for our community. The spot bus does a lot of things. It helps employees get to work. It does distribute tourists around our community all the way up to Schweitzer and other places shopping. It reduces trips, car trips on the road for those who are riding the bus. That's one fewer car in a parking spot or clogging up the roads. And then for those who are infirmed or need, you know, some way who can't drive, it provides those services to them. So, you know, you'd have to go back to the origin of it, but water's under the bridge. We've decided that we were going to fund this joint venture here. And the majority of the operating revenue comes from the federal government. So we have our local match, and then the spot board and their employees do a great, Donna does a great job running the system. And it generates the majority of its revenue from the federal government.
So the city of Sandpoint contributes $145,000?
Well,
for all the cities?
No, it's just Sandpoint alone. So there, we have been steadily increasing our revenue or our allocation to the spot bus for the last at least 2 years as I've been mayor. I've been going up about 10% a year. This year, I had proposed $105,000 funding for it, and the request from SPOT was for $145,000. And the council decided to fully fund their request at $145,000 this year.
At what point is there a plan? I mean, any bus service, it doesn't have to be SPOT and make it like, oh, it's totally unique. Mm-hmm. At what point are they going to be required to start kind of really paying their own bills?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Councilman Howarth brought that up. He said he's used public transportation all over the world, and he's never in
never
any
free.
Other country, it's not free. The spot representative said that any revenue we collect from users, like fares, are deducted from the federal matching dollars. So I think, so they make the argument that it's between the accounting and the collections and that sort of penalty that they're going to deduct that from federal dollars. There seem to be a few barriers to charging market rate for the spot bus. But I think SPOT's in a moment of transition. We don't know what the future federal funding is going to be for these programs. And in Sandpoint, it should be known these are not tax dollars that are going to SPOT. They are our local, they're not property tax dollars. That we fund SPOT through our local option tax, and that is a lodging tax, 14%. If you stay in a hotel room in Sandpoint or a short-term rental, you're going to pay 14% tax. That is where we get our money to fund SPOT. It also, that same pool of money funds several police officers and fire department staff. So SPOT is going to face a challenge in the future, actually the city and our residents, because one of the biggest contributors to our local option lodging tax is the Edgewater Hotel. And if that hotel is demolished and reconstructed, that hotel will probably be offline for a couple of years during that building, which means we will not be getting about $250,000 of lodging tax a year. So we're really going to have to figure out how do we fund those services that come from that lodging tax in light of our biggest, you know, provider of those dollars basically going away for 2 years.
Well, this is clearly a topic that we will revisit. Before we run out of time, I did a show last week about veterans, and it was a very difficult show. There are just so many things going on with our veterans. And so my question to you is, what is the city currently doing to train and hire and help our veterans? Mm-hmm.
So the short answer is we're following federal law. We do have preferential hiring. If two candidates are matched equal, the veteran gets the priority. I can say we do have a number of veterans and even current, active military in the National Guard working for us at the city. I'm always impressed by people who have the discipline and the work ethic and the honesty and integrity that comes from our military services. But unfortunately, we're not doing anything at the city beyond following federal regulations. And I think it just comes back to not a desire. We can always do more, but I really just try to keep things stupid simple. Sewer, water, fire, police, roads. And beyond that, there's a lot of great, nonprofits and others who support veterans. I know the Panhandle Gravity Bike Park, they're trying to bring veterans in and let them ride on those trails. And I know there's, all sorts of wonderful nonprofit veteran groups out there trying to assist. There's certainly a great need. And for me, just the takeaway is there's something about the transition from service back into civilian life that we need to figure out, because it's too abrupt. It's, obviously war is traumatic. I'm not a veteran. I can't imagine the gravity of the decisions they make. But we've got to figure out how do we make that transition and those support systems for our veterans more robust and more effective, because it's a silent tragedy. And we just need to support these people who are willing to lay down their lives and fight and defend for freedom.
Amen to that. I agree with that 100%. And it's not just our post-service military people that need help and are, our topic last week was suicide. It's active duty that are still suffering and going through things. I must have a thing about the spot bus, because if we can support the spot bus, it just seems to me we could donate some money or find a program to help our veterans. America 250, let's go there. I did have another one, but let's go to America 250. What is the city doing? You've got like a minute and a half or so.
Oh, well, we are trying to figure out what we can do. You've heard me, and you will hear me say that we're in a difficult space as a city. I encourage anyone to come play with our budget and ask some questions. Just for an example, we got $154,000. That's our new revenue in the city. Imagine you're running a business. Next year, you get an extra $154,000. That's because the legislator has capped our existing property tax revenue to 3%. We get new construction. Last year, that was $82,000. So all that new construction, that's how much new tax revenue we get. So in total, we get about $220,000-$230,000 this year that we didn't have last year. Our health insurance at the city went up over $220,000 last year.
Fuel costs, fuel, insurance, lights, everything. Everything.
So we are, we're not crushing it, and we're not keeping up with our demands. So when we even try to find $5,000 or $10,000 to contribute to a 4th of July event, which is what we're trying to do right now, I'm talking to the Lions Club, saying how can we partner with you. The state, I think, put out a grant for $250,000 to celebrate the 250th birthday of America. That's probably not going to go too far when I think the typical show here in Sandpoint cost about $25,000. So I think, we're going to have a great party. We're going to celebrate the greatest nation in the world and our freedoms next July 4th. And we're going to try to figure out what can we do as a city to dress it up, obviously more flags and banners, and what can we do to just make sure it's a wonderful day of celebration for our nation.
I how much I agree with that. It's amazing what's going on. 250 years ago this year, Paul Revere had already ridden, George Washington already had the command of the Continental Army, and we didn't even have our Declaration of Independence yet. I mean, things had been going on for 10 years that were moving us in that direction. It is amazing to go back and see what happened. All right, can you believe it? That's the last word for today. God bless
Thank
America,
you.
Right?
God bless America, and thanks for having me, Barbara.
You're welcome. So I have another quote from our founding fathers, Jeremy. Jeremy, and I thought of you and your team in the city when I read this. It says, it's James Madison, the advancement and diffusion of knowledge is the only guardian of true liberty.
Oh, I love it.
So thank you for getting the word out. Next week, Bonner County Director of Emergency Services will be here, Bob Howard. So until then, next Tuesday, God bless America.